The gospel lesson this evening comes from the sixth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, beginning with the first verse. And beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at street corners so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God. In the Anglican liturgical tradition, there is a prayer for purity before the Eucharist whose sources extend back centuries, all the way, in fact, into at least the 10th century. These are the words of the prayer. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Today is Ash Wednesday, and on this day, Christians all over the world gather together to ask God, before whom no secrets are hid, to cleanse our thoughts, purify our motives, and make our hearts holy and true. Another way of saying that is that tonight we are asking God to help us more fully be a people of integrity, that our thoughts would match our deeds, and our deeds match our creeds. Ash Wednesday is the first day of Lent, a season, as I said a few moments ago, of reflection and penitence. When we, the people of God, take time to consider our lives, strengthen our devotion, and deepen our discipleship. And it is the day when we most seriously consider what Paul Tillich called the most ultimate of things, sin, and mortality. On Ash Wednesday, as we come face to face, forehead to forehead, with the truth of the mortality of our unholy humanity before the immortality of God's holy divinity, we join together in the prayer of the tax collector in Jesus' parable, who beat his breast and prayed his prayer, asking God for God's mercy upon him, a sinner. Jesus was a friend to tax collectors and sinners. And we can point to many pages in our Bible where he showed compassion towards those who had missed the mark of saintly perfection. The harlot, the adulterer, the drunk, or just a few which come to mind. We thank God for the forgiveness they received in Jesus. And we thank God for the forgiveness we too are promised, so long as we take this grace not in vain, but instead receive it with open hands and open hearts, humbly and with gratitude. And that is the meaning of our faith, and the ultimate thing of all ultimate things, that ashes to ashes and dust to dust, we were dead in our trespasses and sins, but we have been made alive together in the grace and mercy of God given to us in Christ. So in the grace of Christ, we can be told tonight that we shall surely die, and yet also still live. But as I said a moment ago, in the Apostle Paul's words, we do not accept this grace from God in vain. The Greek word for vanity found in the epistle reading is kenos, and it means empty, as in an empty vessel or cup. And that is the great question left for each of us to weigh in our own hearts tonight. Whether when we come to receive these ashes as signs of penitence, we come with only empty external gestures, or with genuine, genuine inner desire to change and to be changed. And if not in vain, then the God unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets, not even one, are hid, will convict us and cleanse us and make us into a people of both outer and also inner integrity. Or as Jesus puts it in tonight's gospel lesson, our Father who sees in secret will reward us. What I guess I'm really talking about tonight can be summed up in the word hypocrisy. That is a word, in fact, hypokrite, that Jesus uses three times in this text alone this evening, and 15 times altogether in the book of Matthew. It literally means actor or stage player or pretender. And if there was one thing that Jesus had no patience for, it was a pretender, someone who was only acting like they were someone whom they were not. And I think to myself, how many Baptists pretended not to recognize each other in my dad's liquor store back in Lubbock? They had their stage costumes on, but my dad knew who they really were behind the masks. Or, lest you think my family was without the sin of hypocrisy, I will have you know that my dad's grandfather, Dewey C., whom at least one of you knew, lived up in Swisher County, which was founded by a bunch of Protestants and so was therefore a dry county. Next door, however, there was Castro County, which was founded by Catholics and so was wet. Granddad Dewey was himself a Baptist and so therefore a strict teetotaler. But every week he took not one but two trips to Castro County for business. And if anybody asked what kind of business, his answer was none of your business. We've all played the game, haven't we? And we've all acted on the stage, and there's not a one of us who has not, in some big or small way, acted the hypocrite. But tonight is a night when we are called to come and to get real with God. And the trumpet sounds, as the prophet said, the call to worship this evening. We are called to rend our hearts and not just our clothing. And God knows what's in our hearts. And God can cleanse our cups on both the outside and also the in. God can bring an integrity and a wholeness and a holiness to both our insides and also our outsides, a unity to our public words and our private actions, and as is needed more and more in a society which purports to believe in the equality of all souls, but does increasingly little to address the inequity amongst our bodies, God can also put it in our hearts to do away with the disconnect between our public words and our public actions and or inactions. The good news, the gospel word tonight is this, that we don't have to be a hypocritical people, and we don't have to have a hypocritical church or a hypocritical nation, but that we can be changed. But in order to be changed, We have to first be willing to open ourselves up and let God get at us. And we might as well, for there is no fooling God anyhow. And it's all just a matter of time before we will, every one of us, have to finally, in our own way, in our own time, come clean. The integrity of God is the goal. And the grace of Jesus Christ is the power. And the gift of the Holy Spirit is the inspiration. We can be made holy by the power of God in Christ in us, and our hearts can be made whole by the gift of God's Spirit that is at work even right now in our lives. So then we pray the prayer. And we mean it when we say these words: create in us a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within us. And by the aid of thy Holy Spirit, help us to put away all play acting and pretense and get down to the serious, serious business of finally being fully redeemed. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, and Mother of us all, and together then all of God's people do say, amen and amen.
Please join me in the confession and pardon. Have mercy, O God. Have mercy on us. We have many treasures on earth that we hold too dearly. When we sin against our neighbor, condone injustice, and quarrel with one another, do not see us for our faults.
Do not go away from us.
Keep us always in your presence,
so that we may be restored to the joy of our salvation.
Sustain in us a willing spirit to treasure what you desire.
May our hearts will be
Jesus Christ, our treasure, we pray. Amen.
In a moment, the congregation will be invited to come forward and to take on the ashes. These are, as I said a moment ago, the signs and symbols of ultimate things, the honest to God truth about whom we are, sinners and mortal. But we come this evening knowing that of dust we were born and to dust we go again. And yet we take on the dust with the sign of the cross, which is the sign and symbol of the promises we receive in the grace of Jesus Christ. So tonight I invite you to come seriously, honest to God about who you are, and in hope in the grace that we have in Christ Jesus, our Lord, who walked the 40-day path and was faithful unto the end.
Let us together bless the ashes. Bless, O God, these ashes and those who receive them.
Let them be for us a reminder of our mortality,
a call to sincere repentance,
and a testimony to your abundant mercy, Jesus Christ.
Let us join now together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Depart now, and I'm so grateful that you've gathered here with us this evening to begin this Lenten journey. We pray that the Spirit would be our guide as we go forth, continuing to be purified in the grace of Jesus Christ. May we walk over these next 40 days as far and as faithfully as we can in Jesus. And may we trust in God to be our guide and our grace when it is that we fall short. Depart now this evening in the words of one of our former pastors. And one of my pastors when I was a child, John Claypool, who used to say, "Depart now, and as you go, remember, by the goodness of God, you were born into this world. By the grace of God, you have been kept all the day long. And by the love of God, fully revealed in the face of Jesus Christ, you are being redeemed." Amen.